Please turn with me to the book of Ruth and chapter 2. The book of Ruth and chapter 2. And we'll read by way of introduction, verse 2. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And the subject before us this evening is the grace of God. The grace of God. We see how the grace of God shines through the testimony and the behavior and the dealings of Boaz unto Ruth. Now Ruth the Moabitess had traveled from the land of Moab with her mother-in-law, Naomi, to Bethlehem. And she'd entered Bethlehem in union with her mother-in-law. She entered by faith, trusting in the Lord. She was in fellowship, both naturally and spiritually, with Naomi. If we turn to chapter 1 and verse 16, And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now Ruth asked her mother-in-law if she could go and glean ears of corn as a way of providing for them. And when she set out to go to the field, it was an action of faith and dependence upon God to direct her. As a stranger, she had no idea what part of the field belonged to what owner. Ruth had also not only walked out in dependence upon the guidance of God, but she went dependent upon the grace and the favor of another. She was to be a gleaner. And interestingly, what Ruth was to experience providentially, she had also experienced spiritually in God's pattern of grace. For spiritually applied, God had chosen Ruth, a Moabitess. He had graciously created a need in her spiritually, and grace had met that need. And so now she has a need providentially, and God is going to graciously provide her need. And I want us to see this evening, if the Lord will help us together, how the sovereign grace of God shines so clearly in this chapter. So, for example, we can see, first of all, how God graciously directs and overrules her footsteps. God ensured that she was in the right place at the right time to meet Boaz. This was a divine appointment of God's grace. It was actually planned in eternity for the mutual blessing of Boaz and Ruth. The word of God says her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She just happened to go to that particular part of the field that belongeth to Boaz. And this is written into the inspired word of God in language that we can understand and relate to. So much of our life, often it seems we just happen to be in this place. We happen to be in the right place at the right time. But what a lot God can do from a seemingly little event. What a lot transpired in the life of Ruth from just happening to be in the field belonging unto Boaz. You see, behind the happenings in our life is the divine providence of God. Such a lot rests on a little in the sovereignty of God. And that should bring a reverence into our lives. We deny the fictitious power of chance. We believe in a sovereign ruler, a God who directs and a God who is in control of our life. Great things then develop from small beginnings. We had an example back at Melcher many years ago when I was the pastor there in the early days. And it was our first baptism at the church. In fact, we didn't have a baptistry. We had to put a baptistry in the building. And before, the baptisms had to be held in another church. So in any case, this was the first one we had in the church building. And the deacon had come to fill the baptistry, and we had to fill it with a hose pipe, and he'd forgotten his hose connector. And he lived on a farm some way away, and he thought, well, I'll go and ask the man next door. And being a church that hadn't a history of being evangelistic, they hadn't really made any contact with the neighborhood. But he thought, no, I will go and speak to this man. He was in the garden. So he went to speak to him. Oh, yes, he said, I would love to see inside the building. So he took him inside the building. He gave him a hose connector. And from that little beginning, he started coming to church. His wife is still coming to church because this man has died now. His wife is still coming to church and an active person in the work of the church. And truly converted. You can see here that just a little thing, forgetting a hose pipe connector. What God can do with something like that. And I want us to remember that this evening. And it puts a real solemnity about our lives, doesn't it? What God can do. And then we had the provision of a cottage. And near the chapel, just in front of the chapel building, that was so suitable for an evangelistic Sunday school work. And my wife and I have been praying about this before we started the pastorate. I'd started the pastorate, and on the very first Sunday we started, this cottage came up for sale, and it was in exactly the right position. But this is the point. This man who the deacon had contacted, he was a builder. And he said, I can help you. I can refurbish that cottage for you. And this is what happened. So here is Ruth. She had to be a light on the field belonging to Boaz. We look at that situation. She was in the right place at the right time. But behind the happening is the divine providence of God. And I think this is one of the first points we can bring out of this event. We could call it the determination of holy providence. The scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And as we praise God, this God is our God, and he will be our guide forever. You remember how Abraham's servant was looking for a wife for Isaac, and he says, he makes this statement in his testimony. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. God's guidance, God's provision. And this is all to do with the gracious dealings of God with his people. But now this evening we'll press on by focusing on the testimony of how the grace of God shone in the life of that man of God called Boaz. I want us to see particularly here in the way that he treated Ruth. It is the grace of the strong ministering and helping the weak. The name Boaz means in him is strength. And under God, Boaz used that strength. He displayed strength graciously. And the account is a picture given to us in the Old Testament to encourage us in the way the grace of God works in a believer's life in Christ Jesus, our heavenly Boaz. There's a testimony here of how Christ deals so graciously with needy sinners. And I want us then, in conclusion, just to see how Ruth responds to this wonderful grace in her life. But first of all, then, the grace of God shining in the life of Boaz. Boaz takes the initiative. In verse 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." It was Boaz who first spoke to Ruth. In the culture of her day, she would not have dared speak to Boaz. She was a widow. She was a stranger. She was a foreigner. He was the Lord of the harvest. And when we consider the work of God's grace, it always starts with God. Salvation, as you know, is by God's grace. It's all of God's favor. He is the one who initiates the work of salvation. He is the one who is accomplishing the work of salvation. God makes the first move. He makes the first move in coming to his people's aid, not because we deserve anything, but because he loves his people and he wants them to come to him through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so God has to take the initiative. Our hearts are hard by nature. We're unresponsive. We read in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and iniquities, in sins and iniquities. We read, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That is our state by nature. We need intervention from God to touch our lives. And so we read in the first letter of John, and in chapter 4, verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So God takes the initiative, and in this practical way here, Boaz speaks to Ruth. He comes along, he takes interest in Ruth, and he speaks personally to Ruth. Notice here in verse 8, he says, "Hearest thou not, my daughter?" And there's a difference in terminology between verse 5 and verse 8. In verse 5, we read, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" This is an impersonal question. Who is that woman there? Who is that young woman there? But it's moved from verse 5 to verse 8 to Boaz taking a personal interest in Ruth. And this is how God works with his people. He speaks to his people personally. And what grace there is here. What kindness, what compassion. Boaz comes across especially to speak to Ruth, a humble gleaner. And this reminds us that in God's grace, he can come to us in very humble, desperate situations. God can reach us where we are. Boaz's interest in Ruth resulted in action. His interest was a sincere interest. It was a developing interest. It was a personal interest. You will listen. "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field." And so God, by his love, by his Son, and by his Holy Spirit, speaks to each one of his people personally. If we turn to the New Testament again, in the letter to the Hebrews, and in chapter 1, verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." And then in Hebrews 3, verse 1, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. God calls his people personally. He speaks to them personally. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And then we could move on to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And so we have this personal interaction from the heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, to his sheep. Now, God then, as the Lord of his harvest, he speaks to his people according to his sovereign grace. And if I might put it like this, God speaks in a way where we realize that God is interested in my life. And that is an awesome consideration. You know how important it is for people to feel welcome and wanted. And Ruth began to feel wanted in that field. Why? Because of the way that Boaz treated her. My daughter. That's a term of endearment to Ruth. You know, in the factory we had, the printing factory we had in Northampton, we had a reception area. And we were very concerned that when the customers came to visit, they were made welcome. The receptionist had a smile on her face. She offered them a cup of coffee. She offered them a biscuit. They felt that they were wanted because first impressions count. And Ruth's first impression of Boaz was of a kind man, a man who was speaking to her. And she later says, you're speaking kindly to me. First impressions count. How we deal with people, how we speak to people. And part of our witness as Christians is the way that we speak from our hearts. We show an interest in people. But then I want us to see how Boaz clearly directs Ruth. Verse 8, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Now, Boaz was very clear in his commands and direction to Ruth. He could see that she was very vulnerable. And so the word of God is very clear in its commands to the believer. We are to glean from the field of God's word. Go not to glean in another field. We live in a day and age where there is so much pressure to go and glean in other books, in other fields. But God is primarily calling us to glean in the field of his word. Go not to glean in another field. Because God in his grace has provided for us the source of spiritual food. And this afternoon I was thinking of that passage in the book of Proverbs and chapter 2. The book of Proverbs and chapter 2. And we read from verse 1. This exhortation, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, see that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. God has provided for us in his word. And then Boaz says, in his gracious dealings with Ruth, abide here fast by the young women. And he says, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Now, Boaz knew the women that worked for him. He wanted Ruth to stay with them. And so we are called to stay close to God's people, to stay alongside those who will be a good influence for us, not a bad influence, to be careful who we spend our time with. God, by his grace, provides for us people who we can have spiritual fellowship with, who will be helpful to us. Let your eye, thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. A believer is called to work in the field that God has placed us in, according to his grace and kindness. And we're to focus, be focused people. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, picks up on this in his own personal testimony. He says in Philippians chapter 3, and verse 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. I'm focused upon the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not looking in other fields. I'm not looking all around me. I'm focusing upon where God has placed me. And I'm going to look unto Jesus and follow in God's way and in God's pathway that he has ordained for me in my life. But then I want us to notice here how Boaz in his grace protects Ruth. He requires the Jewish women to work alongside Ruth. She's a Moabitess. He commands and warns the women, the men, not to touch her. So Boaz was concerned for her safety. God is concerned for the safety of all his people spiritually. I have commanded, I have charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. Satan can only go so far. In the book of Job we read, "Thus far shalt thou go and no further. So shall thy proud waves be stayed." Let us remember that. Satan can only go so far. And God has his stop times. And ultimately, God has an eternal protection on the soul of every one of his people. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Satan can attack, he can attack our bodies, he's allowed to attack our circumstances, our feelings, our emotions, all types of things Satan will attack. But he can never, ever take our soul, because that is in God's hands. He has a sovereign protection for his people. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet ever at hand. You know, God is with his people in the storms of life. And you know, it's an amazing thing when God gives us a peace which passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing for us. You know, there was a man who commissioned two artists to paint a picture. And they were each given the opportunity to paint a picture depicting peace and tranquility. And you know, the first artist, he painted his picture of a little cottage by a stream, and the sun was shining, and it was a beautiful cottage garden, and the man and his wife were sitting out in the garden, sitting back, enjoying the scenery. And it was a beautiful picture, really. And you wish you were there on holiday, you know. It was that sort of nice picture. But the other artist did something totally different. His picture showed a terrible storm. And he showed the waves that were in a boisterous condition. the clouds was a dark cloud. It was hardly any, it's a very dark picture. But in the cliff, if you look toward the cliff, he painted some cliffs, and in a little ledge, if you look very closely, there was a dove in that cleft of the rock. And it was just sitting there, as peaceably as anything. It was the heart of God. And you know, Ruth had plenty of storms in her life. She'd lost her husband. She was in a foreign land. She was vulnerable. She was probably very afraid initially in that before Boaz had come to speak to her. But Boaz was protecting Ruth as the heavenly Boaz protects his people. But then Boaz provides for Ruth. Let's look at verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now, Boaz knew that gleaning in the hot weather was backbreaking and thirsty work. Ruth was privileged then to drink from the water that was readily available. It was drawn from the well, and she could drink of this water. Matthew Henry says that surely this is of the famous well of Bethlehem, the waters of which David longed for, a very beautiful well of water. Now, if we bring this into the present, situation is like the ministry. A minister and your pastor over many, many years, thousands of occasions, has gone to the well of God's word. And he's drawn from the well of God's word. And so that you, the hearers, and you come to the church on the Lord's day, or on a weeknight, and you're stressed, and you're tired, and you're weary, and perhaps you're burdened with a certain situation. And here is some water to drink. But it's been pre-drawn for you. It's been studied. It's been prepared. This is the message that God has for you. And when God speaks to your heart, it's a wonderful experience. And you're able to drink of the waters of the well of God's word. Something which has been pre-drawn. That is one of the blessings of ministry. This is one of the amazing things about preaching, the uniqueness of preaching. The minister is drawing from the well of God's word so that the hearers can drink from the well of God's word in the message coming. And there's nothing like the refreshing waters of God's word. This is the only proper and safe well for the hearers to drink from. Well, I want us to see then now how Boaz encourages Ruth in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, as Ruth bows herself in gratitude to Boaz, he encourages her. Her kindness to her mother-in-law has not gone unnoticed. The sacrifice, the uncertainty. And so this brings us to the wonderful truth this evening that the Lord knows. Maybe you're involved in a work that very few people take notice of. Very few people know about the work you're doing. It's very much a behind-the-scenes labor. And yet the Lord knows. And ultimately, this is all that really matters. Because we're doing it for the Lord. And we're looking for that reward of grace in heaven from God. The Lord knows the way that we take. The Lord knows the work you are doing for the Lord. And this is here spoken of as a reward of faith. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward, that's a reward of grace, be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, there were these molded wings of the cherubims in the Holy of Holies. And it spoke, symbolized forgiveness, mercy, atonement, protection. And this is a picture for us of how Ruth has come by faith to put her trust in the Lord. She's come under the wings of the Lord God Almighty, and she's protected. But then I want us to notice here how Boaz befriends Ruth. In verse 13, then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Now this event is a beautiful picture for us of the very kindness of God in Christ Jesus. See, here Ruth is greatly encouraged and comforted by the way that Boaz dealt with her and spoke with her. And the words of Ruth saying to Boaz, "You have spoken friendly to me," or "spoken kindly to me." It means in the original, "Boaz, you have spoken in a way to my heart. There's something about the way you are speaking, Boaz. You have touched my heart." You see, Naomi had said in chapter 1 to Ruth, "May the Lord deal with you kindly in Moab." How much better for the Lord to deal kindly with Ruth in Bethlehem, her being in God's way. And the way that Boaz deals so kindly with Ruth is an example of how we should deal kindly, especially with newcomers coming to church. But here, Boaz actually invites Ruth to his table. "At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And so here he demonstrates his friendship, his kindness, his gracious kindness. Now, Ruth had never experienced anything like this before. He was an important man. He was the Lord of the harvest, the owner, befriending her, showing her kindness, even going as far as feeding her from his hand. He reached her parched corn. And he sits her in honor among the reapers and the workers. He reaches forth his hand to provide for Ruth. He satisfies her needs entirely with his food provided for her. And she was now drinking from the best water, the pre-drawn water of the well of Bethlehem. And now she's eating of the best food from the hand of Boaz. And this was all because of the gracious kindness of Boaz, the generosity of Boaz, and the gratitude of Boaz. And here is a picture of the heavenly Boaz, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How graciously kind he is towards us. He reaches down to us. He invites us to come. He invites us to come to him. "Come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God invites sinners to the gospel table to eat of his royal food. And God, by his grace, gives sinners the best. He gives to them of his grace, graciously, with liberality, without reproach, with encouragement. He feeds his people with spiritual blessings from on high through Jesus Christ, the heavenly Boaz. God gives nothing but the best in Christ Jesus. So, as we come to this gospel table, like Boaz invites Ruth to come to his table, and Boaz provides for Ruth, and Boaz feeds Ruth. The heavenly Boaz invites us to his gospel table, and he provides for us. He reaches down to us, and he reaches to us forgiveness. He provides for us forgiveness, peace, reconciliation with God. There are constant blessings coming from his word, the word of God. We find by the work of the Holy Spirit, sanctification, ultimately eternal glory. This is God's bread bin. Now, what can compare with God's bread bin, God's gospel table? What can compare with such a table as this? What more can you want for your soul? What more do you need for your soul? God has provided graciously through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ forgiveness for you, peace with God, reconciliation with God, an eternal inheritance in heaven above. And you simply have to come and take of the water of life freely. That is the wonder of the gospel. And it's here in the Old Testament. It's prefigured for us in the Old Testament. Boaz abundantly blesses Ruth. She ate and she was satisfied. She had enough and more to spare. And this reminds us again of the gracious hand of God, for he satisfied the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Boaz ensured that she could enter into the riches of the full harvest. Handfuls of purpose for Ruth. Another sign of grace. Another sign of favor. And so it is when God touches us with his word. That's a handful of purpose for you. God in his sovereignty said, make sure. God ensures that as we come to hear the word of God, there's a handful of purpose for you. And there's a special blessing for you from his word. He ensured that some grain would certainly be left for Ruth. And so God's people are privileged to enter into the spiritual riches coming from God. Again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, we're just paddling in the sea, really. We can't express enough the wonder of God's grace, the wonder of God's favor in Christ Jesus. But finally this evening, I want us to consider Ruth as the recipient of this grace. And verse 10 is something very significant in the way that Ruth receives the favor of Boaz. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? The hymn writer said, why was I made to come and enter while there's room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? So Ruth is truly humbled at the kindness of Boaz. Why me? I am a foreigner. I'm an alien. Why have you taken notice of me? Do you ever ask that question? God's touched your life, called you by his grace. And you say, why me? Why, Lord? And you humble yourself before God. You go down on your knees before the Lord. And you say, why me, O Lord? And our hearts are overwhelmed with thanksgiving unto God. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? The wonder of God's grace. But you see, I want us to see how Ruth receives this grace. She acknowledges her own unworthiness. She acknowledges that she is a stranger. But she accepts the grace and favor of Boaz. She had truly come to trust in God. She looks away from her poverty. She concentrates on the riches coming from the hand of Boaz. And she forgets her fears and she rests on his promises. All that Boaz was saying to her, she believed in what he was saying to her. and he rests on his word. And so it is with salvation. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin, an absolutely necessary work. But the Spirit of God doesn't leave us there. The Spirit of God leads us out of our poverty unto the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the gospel message, it warns us, but then it calls us to look away from our poverty and unto the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to deal with our sin and our guilt. And we find all our riches and all our need in the heavenly Boaz. She looks away from her poverty and she rests on the riches coming from the hand of Boaz. This is God's gracious provision for us in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ruth came to the field empty, with an empty bag. She came to the field dependent on the grace and favor on another. She returned home with her bag full, overfull, and overwhelmed by grace. She came under the panoply of God's grace, and she entered into the recompense of the reward of faith.